T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A lot of times I'll come across a story, put it on my Facebook page, see what kind of response I get. Tamira, who's my regular producer, Tamira can find the craziest stories out here. She's the first one who brought this story to my attention. It involves a young lady by the name of Natalie Burr. She was graduating from the San Ysidro High School in San Diego. She was the valedictorian, and I'll tell you what, she has gotten all kinds of feedback because the speech she gave at graduation last week is not the speech anyone anticipated. Before I react to it, we're going to take a listen to part of what Natalie had to say at her graduation.
Parents,
here we go.
Friends, staff, and class of 2019, it's a pleasure to speak here to you today. I'd like to give recognition to those who have greatly influenced me during the past 4 years. To my mother and father, you are the most hardworking and caring people that I know. Especially in this past year, with all the craziness of applying to colleges and coming closer to adulthood, you have been wonderful mentors and role models. Thank you for your endless love and guidance. To the teachers, Madame Rosa, Miss Monaghan, Miss Gomez, Mr. Triolino, Mr. Solomon, and Mr. Aleman, thank you for being so invested in your students' education and well-being. You are the most intelligent, inspiring, and supportive individuals I have had the pleasure of learning from while at SYHS. To my friends, thank you for always being by my side. I appreciate your love and support always, and will treasure the memories we made at this school. To my counselor, thanks for teaching me to fend for myself. You were always unavailable to my parents and I, despite appointments. Only in these past few weeks, with the award ceremonies and graduation coming up, did you begin making your appearance. And might I note, you expressed to me your joy in knowing that one of your students was valedictorian when you had absolutely no role in my achievements. To the staff in the main office, thank you for teaching me how to be resourceful. Your negligence to inform me of several scholarships until the day before they were due potentially caused me to miss out on thousands of dollars. When applying for a work permit, you repeatedly turned me away, despite confirming with my employer and parents that all my paperwork was filled correctly. I've had to escalate issues with staff to an assistant principal various times to reach any sort of solution. To the teacher who was regularly intoxicated during class this year, thank you for using yourself as an example to teach students about the dangers of alcoholism. Being escorted by police out of school left a lasting impression. I hope that future students and staff learn from these examples. Thank you, class of 2019.
Now, needless to say, there was a lot of reaction, a lot of response to that. You may recall the valedictorian in a high school last year, I believe it was in Texas, when she started naming the number of young African Americans who were killed by police. They cut her microphone off. Needless to say, valedictorian speeches have changed a lot in the last couple of years. And it's food for thought. I mean, some people feel like she's just a... She was just an entitled young girl who took advantage of the moment. Others feel like she really brought some issues to the forefront. I'm guessing it's somewhere in between. Bottom line is this. You invite someone to speak, they should be able to speak on whatever it is they chose. I'm not sure she was wrong about anything she said. You're listening to KDKA 1020. So, what do you think about this young lady who pretty much slammed the administration, slammed her teachers, you name it, she had something to say. So, a lot of people lashed out at her, and they said that she was ungrateful, that she came across as a young girl with a sense of entitlement, while others are applauding her. In fact, I never know whether I can say people's names on the air. But I just got a text from a good friend of mine that says, good for that young lady. That's part of the reason Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority has the CAP program now. Many school personnel are not doing their jobs across the country. So when you look at it, you know, you, like I said, I am pro-teacher. Understand, it was an educator, a high school teacher in Pittsburgh Public Schools, my mother, that got me this far in my life, along with the help of my dad. My son is an eighth grade math teacher, so I am pro-teacher, by all means. I'm pro-teacher. But people have a responsibility, and that's not just the students. Parents, people on the outside, when you see something going on in your child's school, you need to speak up. You need to demand excellence. Because if, as parents, people aren't demanding excellence, chances are you're not going to get it. Obviously, I'm not the only person who has thoughts on this. Let's try to get a couple phone calls in. Tina.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I am really proud of this girl for coming forth. That is freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's not speaking the truth, allow them to file lawsuits if it's proper. I myself have experienced bad teachers. I've experienced good teachers, Lynn, but I've experienced bad ones. I live in Sharpsburg. I'm not going to name the school.
Okay.
But you can figure it out yourself. And also, I'd like to tell you that there are teachers out there that have mental health issues, such as bipolar, that come to school with mood swings, and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm very proud of her, and I'd like to say, wake up, parents. When you send your child to school, you might think you're sending them to a heavenly place, but it could be on hell's front porch.
Indeed. Good point, Tina. Thanks so much for your call today. I appreciate you. Hi, Ted.
Hey, how you doing, Lynn?
Well, hey, how are you?
Outstanding. I think what that lady said, especially being a young person, is outstanding. That's truth to power. That's real education. That's what all young folks should do. Speak your mind and speak truth to power. Especially what she said about guidance counselors. That's, to me, extremely crucial to a young person's education. A lot of your public schools don't have enough guidance counselors. Those guys can guide you to colleges and save you thousands of dollars.
Sure.
And what you said about guidance counselors, that's unfortunately common in a lot of your schools. They don't exist, or, you know, the funding is undercut, so you don't have enough guidance counselors. So, you know, to me, outstanding what you said. And you know what? These young folks are going to be the future leaders. And
indeed.
Look like those future is going to be bright.
Indeed. And that's why we have to encourage them. Hey, Ted, thanks so much for your call today. And, this young lady even talked about the fact that there were scholarship money available to her, but the guidance counselor didn't let her know in time. And I don't know that guidance counselor. You know, for all I know, that guidance counselor may have 1,000 kids that he's trying to coordinate. But the bottom line is it's the system. The system needs an overhaul because, in the meantime, our kids are falling between the cracks. And if you want to get upset about something, you want to get outraged about something, let it be something for real. Let it be something that makes a difference. Let it be worrying about what's happening to our kids, making sure that our kids aren't getting lost in a system. And the realities are sometimes you as the parent, the grandparent, the aunt, the uncle, when you see something wrong, you have to be the one to step up and speak up on behalf of that child in your life. Well, there were already concerns about air quality in the Mon Valley. And these concerns go back to December of last year. And ever since then, the sulfur dioxide levels in that area have been at the very least a concerned level, and in most cases, alarming levels. Then today comes word that U.S. Steel says there was a fire. They reported it to the health department around 5 a.m. this morning. So the problems just seem to be continuing. State Representative Austin Davis joins us right now. Good afternoon, Representative.
Good afternoon, Lynn. Thanks for having me today.
So while I know we don't know a lot of details about this fire from this morning, tell me what your gut reaction was when you even heard that there was one.
Well, I mean, quite frankly, I was in disbelief and quite frustrated that, you know, the efforts that have put forth after the December fire have been unsuccessful in rectifying the ongoing issues at the plant. You know, it's something that I've been monitoring for quite some time, but really just disappointed that at U.S. Steel and the effort that they put forward to correct what we thought was corrected in the past, but it appears there are still issues that persist.
So how do we get to the bottom of this? I mean, there are people, the local newspaper profiles someone today who says he's thinking about moving to the south, leaving the area altogether because this air quality issue is affecting his health. It's affecting the health of kids. And many argue that U.S. Steel just isn't doing its part.
Right. So, I mean, I think one of the positive signs is that Dr. Karen Hacker and the Allegheny County Health Department has really stepped up and been aggressive in their enforcement of U.S. Steel to bring them into compliance. I know just a few months ago, the health department joined Penn Environment and the Clean Air Council in a federal lawsuit to try to bring U.S. Steel into compliance. So I think those efforts have been yielding some modest success, but we need obviously to see some more. But it really is going to take U.S. Steel to make a significant investment and not just new their new infrastructure, because we just saw the announcement that they're putting $1 billion in new infrastructure into the plant, but upgrading their existing infrastructure that's there and existing.
So what do you say to the, I don't know if they're going to be critics or naysayers, I'm not sure who they are, but there's a group, and I'm not sure even how vocal they are, that says this is too many jobs on the line with U.S. Steel, let's not put too much pressure on them because they might just pack up and leave.
Well, I think that's wrong. I mean, I think you can have a clean environment and good jobs. I don't think we have to sacrifice one for the other. But it's going to require U.S. Steel making investments in their infrastructure to clean up their plant. We've seen over the last couple of years they've had record profits, and now is the time that they really need to step up to make those investments to be a good community partner. So I don't think it's a matter of you know, choosing jobs versus the environment when we can have both. But it's going to take a requirement on the company's part to put people ahead of their profits.
So in terms of the fire today, how does this work? So they investigate it and then they report to the health department, if you know, I'm not even sure. Like, how do we get the details of this?
I believe the health department investigates it and it does their own investigation of it. And I imagine that Dr. Hacker and her team are going to do it swiftly and have a response very shortly. But I believe the health department does that investigation. I think maybe U.S. Steel maybe does their own internal investigation as well. But I believe the health department has the responsibility to do an investigation themselves.
And State Representative Austin Davis, one last question before we let you go. What do you say to the families with kids in this area that may have asthma? And I know disproportionately African-American children suffer from asthma even more. And many are looking at this situation thinking they have no control.
Yeah. Well, I will say I was a kid that grew up in McKeesport, and I have asthma.
Okay.
So I was that kid. Unfortunately, this has been an issue that those families have had to deal with for far too long. I can tell you, as a government leader, I'm going to continue to do everything that I can at a state level, although we don't have – this is mainly a federal and county issue.
Right.
But to make sure that we get this issue cleaned up and rectified, because it's quite frankly unacceptable, and public health, I know, is the highest priority for any elected official.
Indeed. Austin Davis, thanks so much for joining us today. Lots of good information, and it's a subject we just have to keep talking about until we get it fixed.
All right. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll tell you what. When that crossed that there was a fire, another fire, my heart just sank. I mean, for some of these families out there, especially families that already have breathing challenges. And you know what? Sometimes you are stuck in a place that you can't get out of for a variety of reasons. It might be financial. It might be something else. And I say all of that to say, because coming up in our next half hour, we're going to look at an alarming study that shows the number of kids in Pennsylvania that are actually living in high poverty areas. And we're going to talk with a group of folks from our area that are right now in Washington, D.C. on behalf of the Poor People's Campaign, because they say there are too many issues that are affecting communities and they're going unnoticed. So we're going to do all of that coming up in the next hour. So don't forget, you don't want to go anywhere. And by the way, if you have to get out the car or your boss comes in, you have to take off your headsets, whatever it might be, don't forget, KDKARadio.com. We got you covered. Podcasts of all of these interviews are available. And hey, check them out. Listen to them. Tweet them. Put them on your Facebook page. Get the word out so that folks know we're here every day from 10 to 2. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'm changing my hours here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.